Welcome, everybody. Thanks again for being here. I want to start our talk today on the city of Lewisville. Without going into too much, there's a church that's going, a pretty large church, that's going through a very hard time in this season, and I want to start off by praying for them. We need every local church operating at their best so that the people of God can have hope. And today there's a church in Lewisville that's hurting badly. And I want to pray for them. Will you join me in doing that, everybody? That's all right. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Lewisville that's going through a difficult time right now. God, I pray that you will provide them wisdom. I pray that you will provide humility. I pray that you will provide repentance. And I pray that you'll provide wholeness. I pray for every child, every teenager that's watching this. I pray that they don't hate the church because of the mistakes of a few. I pray that you will protect their hearts and their minds. I pray for us that you'll remind us to pray for men and women who serve in the ministry and for leaders, deacons, elders, overseers, pastors, ministers, administrators. I pray for all of them. Will you simply restore that church to where you want it to be. Lead us now as we go to your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, I don't want you to focus on that for the rest of our time. I really don't. Because all we can do is pray and ask God. I don't want you to go on Facebook to try to figure out what's up. All of that's irrelevant, man. Just pray that the local church will continue to be the hope of the world, that the bride of Christ will shine bright in the midst of darkness. Is that all right? All right, we're in a series, if you're just joining us, and the series is called Know Your Why. My goal in this series is to make sure that every regular attendee, every last one of us, know our why and are walking toward it. My goal is to make sure that every person under the sound of my voice is convinced as to what God's called you to do, and you are beginning or you are walking in the process of doing what God's called you to do. We've suggested so far that, first of all, if you're going to know your why, you have to answer the question, what breaks my heart? Say that with me twice, everybody. What breaks my heart? One more time. What breaks my heart? You have to answer that question. Another way to ask it is well, at the end of my life, what do I want people to line up to thank me for? What do I want them to say? Thank you for doing A. Thank you for doing B. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you. My life will never be the same again, all because you answered the why. That's what we're going after. Well, so far, we've suggested that there's one main reason why we don't do it. The main reason we don't do it, last time I had two tents up here, and what I said last week, and what I said was, the reason we don't do it is because we're in a tent that makes us so comfortable. The way life is right now is so convenient, so comfortable, and we love it, and we enjoy it, and your why is found at the border of your comfort zone and what God's calling you to do. And the reason we don't walk out of our comfort zone is because we love ourselves so much. And so today, we're going to zoom in and we're going to try and highlight one more reason why we don't want to pursue our why. And then we're going to go to the next level of trying to disclose and discover what that why is. So there's a passage of scripture I want you to read, if you don't mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I want everybody to stand and let's read the word of the Lord together. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 28. Everybody reading together, please, as loud as you can. Here we go. And we know that God all right, so here we go. Let's highlight a couple of phrases. First one is, there's something here that we know. Everybody together, we know. So there's something that we know. And then there's something that we don't know. We got to discover what is it that we don't know, and then what is it that we know. Then he says that God causes, read this phrase with me, all things, not some things, but all things. And then he says to work together for good. Now, this is the most important phrase in the whole passage, because if you get this wrong, you get the whole verse wrong. So you've got to know what this means, because a lot of people have preached this passage and defined what it means and centered what that means around you. And that's incorrect. I'm going to show you why in a minute. to those who love God and to those who are called according to his. Here's what that means. That means this is not for everybody. This is for those who and for those who are. Somebody would say it this way. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? That's what somebody says. All right. So this is only for those who, say with me, love God and who are called according to
his purpose.
You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, on today, I want to address front and center why it is that we struggle with pursuing our why. This is a huge one. It's a huge one throughout all of church history. This, what I'm about to talk about, is a huge one. You see, for many of us, we grew up in denominations and in churches where spirituality referred to what you do with God. So it refers to what you personally do with God. And the danger of that is it becomes only vertical and not horizontal. This is huge, because what you end up doing is saying, God, oh, I'm so sorry for what I did. God, I want to get close to you. God, I want to get close to you. God, I want to make sure that if I'm struggling with something, I stop struggling it so I can be closer with you. But if you notice, everything you say as you try to get closer to God is about you still, and it's not about the people around you. And if you're not careful, all throughout Christianity, people have made Christianity just about, or any other religion, by the way, just about you. And you get it right to God, with God, which therefore, again, makes it self-centered and makes it about you. Throughout history, it's happened. And the more this happens, the more divisions we get. The danger of it, then, is you then focus so much on your relationship with God, and you think, which is important, but by itself, it's not. So you cannot say, I have a relationship with God, but hate my brother. That means you're lying. If you have a relationship with God and you have cultivated an intimate relationship with God, then it will spill over into your relationships with other people. That's why you can't make life about you. Listen, I'm telling you. So the issue becomes, the church I grew up in, what happened was, they said, oh yeah, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't wear that, for sure you can't wear that. You don't love Jesus if you wear that. And then they say, the hair is too long or it's too short. You don't have enough hair or you have too much hair. You got to cover your hair. Yeah, and then we get on all of this stuff. And all that happens is they make religion or Christianity in that form about you and God. So therefore we grow up not thinking, I've got to make sure this is right. And once this is right, then I've got to go change the world as a result of it. We stopped right here. So as long as I'm good with God, then I'm good. And Paul is about to show us that is absolute nonsense. Because God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, finish it with me, and love your as yourself. You can't have one without the other. This one flows naturally into this one. But what we have made Christianity to be is all about me and God, which is why you don't want to fulfill your purpose, because if you fulfill your purpose, it has nothing to do with you. When you fulfill your purpose, when you walk in your calling, it has to do with somebody else. You will not be the center of your call. The center of your call is everybody else being blessed that you are walking in what God has called you to walk in. You don't believe me, so let me help you out. I don't need that. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Watch the text. This is profound to me. Here's what he's saying. This is hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to prove a point. Here's what he says. He says, if you are so spiritual in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, and you can speak in tongues, and when you speak in tongues, you can hear what everybody has to say, and they can interpret what you have. And if you're so godly that the Spirit of God just uses you profoundly. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, you know what that means? Here's what that means. That means you're so godly that you can talk to angels.
You're so gullible. When angels talk, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah. And when you talk to angels, like, oh, my gosh, one human, they can speak, and we understand. Oh, my gosh. You're so godly that even the angels understand what you got to say. That's how godly you are. Here's what he says. If you're that godly, but you do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging. Took us 3 services to get there. Here's what he's saying. Don't miss it. Do not miss this. If the side of your tradition that you come from focuses on speaking in tongues and walking in and all that, if that's what it focuses on, listen to me, please. That's what he focuses on. He's saying, you're a fraud. Your religion is worth nothing. He is saying that you can be as godly as you think you are, but as far as God is concerned, you're only noise. That's all you are. You're playing a game, and everybody can see right through it. The Church of Jesus Christ is hurt because of too many people that says they're all of this, but when it comes to helping their neighbors in Houston, they don't want to. They say, you cannot have this and not reach out this way. When a need is in front of you, it is not, you are a fraud. You are a phony. You're a hypocrite. He says, if you say you're this godly, and yet you don't want to meet the needs of those who have a need. That's what he says. It gets better. He leaves the charismatics alone. And then he goes, I'm telling you, every denomination he hits. Next verse. Then he goes to those who love talking about, I've got the gift of prophecy and I can understand. Yeah, you see that eclipse the other day? Here's what I meant. That meant that God's going to come back in about 14 days. And that kind of stuff. He said, if you think you're so godly, if you think you're so deep, if you think you're so profound and you know it's all this insight because you know the word. He says, I got something for you. If you think when somebody comes to you, you say, oh, yeah, you're running away from God. Well, let's go to Jonah chapter 1 and show you what happened with people that walk away from God. Oh, you have an issue with your tongue? Okay, let's go to James chapter 3. And you can quote a verse and a chapter for every single area. He says, come here. And if I have faith so that you can see a mountain, get out of the way in Jesus' name. And the mountain moves. He says, you're that godly. Of course, none of us are, but he's hyperbole. He's going to the extreme. And say, if you become the perfect person that you're trying to become, so as to remember, but have not love, I am. So he says, nothing. You're nothing but a phony. You are fooling yourself, but you don't know Jesus as much as you think you know him. He says you can wear the longest skirts you want to wear. You can never touch your hair ever. You can do it all. Never pierce your ears. Never put anything on your body. You think you're all godly, but you don't love somebody. Save all that. Save it all. He goes to the third group. I love this group. The third group is a group of people that now they want to give everything away. You see how he goes to all the extreme? Whatever form of godliness you choose, he's highlighting you, and he says, if that's you. And he goes to the ultimate extreme on this one. He says, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, every, as soon as I get some money, I give it all away. And I surrender my body to be burned. Here's what this means. This means I give all my stuff away. That wasn't enough. So then I kind of give myself to somebody else so that they will take advantage of me, but give me money for it. Don't problem. That's good. I'm going to make some money in it. I'm going to give that away too. If I do all of that, but do not have love, it profits me. That's what he says. It goes nowhere. Don't think you're getting closer to God. You're not. No matter how godly you think you are, you kept all the rules. You did everything right. You said, not this, not that, not that's only this. He says, you are playing a game, and the game is called church. And the next generation is going to leave, and they will want to have nothing to do with it. Because when they look at your life, they see you trying to correct everybody else except yourself. And he says, they can see straight through it. It's a game. For years, it's been a game. So here's what he says in light of that. Hey, guys, hey. If you have this, you must, not maybe, if this is true, this relationship with God is true, it must show itself in your love for others. It must show itself in how you use your gifts and abilities to glorify God, which is why the problem is that when you do all of the first part, it's all about you. You're doing it to get closer to God. You're doing it so that God can say, ooh, look at him. You're doing it, but you're still making it all about you. And he's saying, when this is right, you must know your why, and you must walk in your why, because then that's when you actually show love. Let me give you some blanks to fill out real quick. Let's talk about it. Number one says this. Here's what it says. If you have your notes sheet, pull it out, and let's go through these real quick so you get the point I'm trying to make. If you don't have a handout, just wave your hand. Let's see if our ushers can get those to you. Here's what we're saying. Why we don't live life on purpose. Why? Why we don't understand our why and walk in it. This is so important. Here's why. Number one says, because as Christians, we have a tendency to be more content with making a point than making a difference. We do this all the time. We want to make a point. You can't. Instead of focusing on making a difference. I am not saying that it's not appropriate and it's not well to work on developing your relationship with God. All I'm saying is it can't stop there. Because if it stopped there, then that's only half the equation. It's not the rest of it. And that makes it an inauthentic faith. You've got to love God with all your heart, and you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. And many of us grew up in traditions where all they cared about was making a point. Not making a difference. All they cared about in the church was, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's what they cared about. That's what you grew up in. That's why you didn't like the church you grew up in. And if you're here and you're a non-Christian, you love this because you're like, that's exactly why I hate the church. That's exactly why I hate Christians. That's exactly why my daughters will never marry a Christian man, because all of y'all just want to tell everybody else they're wrong and you're the only ones that are right. Because we care about making a point more than making a difference. We care more about making sure we're theologically accurate than walking across the street and serving the person that needs to be served. That's the problem with Christianity today. That's the problem with the church today. Next point. Watch it. Here we go. So, in light of that then, next. Oh, yeah, here we go. Don't measure your love for God as what you do to connect with God. It's not just, this is important. But this is only half the equation. When Paul, having been transformed by Jesus, then he had to go everywhere and tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't get exposed to the gospel and stay still. Something must happen to you. You must say, God, here I am, send me. You must be sent. And if you're not, your faith is phony. It is, and that's why I have to address it. Because for years, all they cared about was just connect with God, as if that connection won't make you combust with love for others, and in light of that, serve them. So here's what we're saying. So it's not just that. Last one. Watch this. Oh, no. Take that off. Yeah. Here we go. So for a moment, I want us to imagine that this is Christianity, this is the church, this is our relationship with God. Then I want you to step outside of the bubble, and I want you to look from a non-Christian's perspective as to the conclusion of Christians who live like that. Here's how they see us. Don't miss this. Here's how non-Christians see us. Here's how people who have been hurt by the church see us. Here's how people who tried to expose themselves to Jesus, but got kicked out. Here's how they see us. See. This is how they see us. If you're hearing you're not a Christian, this is exactly how you see us. Here we go. See. This is how these Christians are. We know it all, and we are better than you all. So exactly how they see it. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, that's why when they don't love Jesus, it's not because of Jesus. It's because of how the church has portrayed Jesus. That's why, because we look like, oh yeah, we know it all. Oh yeah, you can't do that in here. You can't do that in here. Oh yeah, no, if you're gonna come in here, then you gotta dress this way and you gotta look this way, and you can't wear makeup, and you can't do your hair like that, and you can't, woman, don't cut your hair. And we go through all this list instead of just doing what Jesus, he saw a woman at the well and he just supported her. That's it. Who says you have to become somebody before I can talk to you? Who says that you've got to have it all right before I can connect with you? That's how Jesus was. Then why is it that as a church we want everybody to be perfect? Especially those who don't know Jesus. We want them to come in and be perfect. When half of us who know him ain't living like we should. No, the ones that ought to be rebuked are the ones who say they know him. Oh, I love Jesus holier than thou. And you acting like a plum fool, you ought to be rebuked. Amen. But then don't rebuke the person who don't even know Jesus. And then you're asking them to make sure. Hey, ooh, no, not in here, not in this house. You can't do that. You can't do that. Can you allow Jesus to transform their heart first? Before we move in that direction. Do you see how we look crazy? Do you see how as Christians we look crazy? No wonder a lot of this country now despises Christians. And watch this, and call us the problem. They call religion, Christianity, quote unquote, they call that the problem. If you get rid of this, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And it's because we have projected we're better than you all. We're so good and we're so holy. We're better than you all. That's not how Jesus positioned himself. Jesus positioned himself as a servant. I'm here to seek and to save. I'm here to be the servant of all. How can I serve you? But not so in the church. And the reason not so is because we care so much about ourselves and being rightly connected with God that we forget that we're here and that when you connect with him rightly, you get to serve freely. But we're not walking in our purpose because we're so consumed with ourselves. And now we've used the church and theology to back up why we should be so focused on ourselves with God and not on others. Preach, Pastor, tell it. Let me give you some more blanks. No, you don't need any more blanks. That's enough. Let's move on. So that's why we don't. Let's explore now why and how you go about discovering it. That's the next part. Let's go to the three circles. So here's what we've said so far. We've said that core values, if you're going to discern what your calling is, unique, customized calling, you got to determine what your core values are. Your core values really mean, what is it that break your heart? What is it that you want people to line up to tell you thank you for? That's what that means. Nehemiah, it was, he remembered what the temple used to look like, what the wall and the greatness of the city. It broke his heart that it was now in shambles. And so his past experiences helped him remember what that was. So now he's going to use his gifts to accomplish what God's called him to do, right? So in light of that, we've talked about this and we've said, hey, what are the five things? Give me some things for you. What are some things for you that breaks your heart? So I'm suggesting for one of those for me is, in my life, one of the things that broke my heart was to see poor leaders in the church. And so that comes from my past experience. That comes from my experience. So let me show you how it works. So for me, when I do my life story, I look in the past and every facet of my life, they threw me up as a leader. Everyone in elementary school, I'm playing soccer. They say you need to be the captain of the team. I go to high school, they say, hey, you need to be the captain of the track and field team. I go, and every single way I go, they say you talk too much and you love to tell people what to do. You go be the leader. You tell them what to do. All right, that's just how it goes. Now listen. If you tell me you have a passion for something, and I can see no evidence of it in your past, you're lusting after what God wants somebody else to do. It's not what he wants you to do. You got to link it to what because he's been working in your past. You just didn't know it. So you got to link what that is to what your core values are so that then God can merge both of them. And now you get to discover what he's been up to without you even knowing. So whenever I see young preachers come and say, hey man, this is what I want to do. Whenever I see a guy come say, yeah, God's called me to make money. My gift is to make money so that I can just give it to the church. When I see that, I said, Joker, you don't. Well, show me in the past, man. It's not there. You just want money. You just greedy. Just admit what it is. That's just greed. Quit tripping. There's something else that you got to be looking for. So you've got to be able to link your core values with your past experiences so that you can see what God is doing in your life. It's hugely important. So another one of mine was just this whole thing called the church. The reason I get so passionate about doing it right is because when I go back to churches, I love to go back. When I go back to them, I'm like, oh, I can't sit still in a church. I'm like, oh no, really? You had all week to prepare and that's what you do? Really, all week to prepare and that's what you're bringing out here? Come on, man, somebody talk to this fool right here. All right, I shouldn't call the person a fool. But you see what I'm saying though? Here's my point. That don't disrupt you. It drives me bananas. It does. It just drives me bananas. I came in here this morning. It's 5 till 8 o'clock. And there was nobody outside in the parking lot waving people in and waving to them. Oh, I call 4 people. This morning, this is an illustration today. And I said, hey, whoa. Well, a lot of people, it's Labor Day weekend. Did we just find out that it's Labor Day weekend? Did we just find that out? No, hold on. That means you don't care that somebody's coming and this is their last hope and they might, just because of your wave, we're glad to see you today. I've set them up for what a sermon is, and you telling me that you couldn't plan long enough to make sure somebody's here? Are you kidding me? And the reason I get so passionate is because I know how high the stakes are, and somebody's eternity could be in balance because of a lazy person's mentality. No, I'm not mad. That's just how Jamaicans are. I'm not mad. But when you know your why, you're passionate about it. So your why might not be that. That's why you couldn't care less. That's why you would say, it ain't that serious. And that's why I don't get mad with you. Because it's not your why. So I don't need you to feel the same way I feel about it. Because I know what it's like when somebody comes in and you expected a guest to be there. And you say, oh my gosh, thanks so much for coming. We're so honored we're here. We've been praying for you to show up. And now you're here. So let me walk you in and give you the best seat in the house, because God's got a word for you today. And I can't wait to see how he's going to connect with where you are at today and what he's going to do in light of that, and how your life will never be the same again because you showed up. See, churches I grew up in, I guess had to sit in the back because they weren't a part of the body. You think that didn't break my heart? I brought my friends in. And you think that didn't break my heart? It still does. But that's my why. What's yours? That's the question. What's yours? All right, come on. We got to go. So then, I want to go to this verse. And we know that God causes all things, not some things, all things to work together for. Come on, everybody, for. Let's talk about this verse. And we know. I'm going to get a little wind up on this verse right here. And we know. Watch it. I'm going to clarify your theology. Here's what the verse says. We know that, verse 28. Here's what we don't know, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Read this phrase for me. For we do how to, as we should. So there's something we don't know how to do, and we don't know how to pray. Here's the good news. This is right before verse 28. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Next verse. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints. That's you and me now, the same ones that's going to know. He intercedes for the, according to the will of God. What's he saying? The Spirit know that you don't know what's about to happen. So the Spirit prays to the Father. And says to the Father, Father, I want you to give them what's best for them, but they don't know that it's what's best for them, but they know that you're going to work it out. So because I, Spirit says to the Father, know what your will is, I can pray, because they don't know that they should be praying for what I'm praying for, but they don't know that they need to be praying for it. So I'm going to pray for them so that when it happens, they will know that you will work it out for your good. So what he's saying, the Spirit is saying, I have prayed the will of God that he will allow this to happen so that it is for your good. So when anything happens in your life, it's for your good. No, the question then becomes, what's this good? Verse number 29. So go to verse 28, verse 28. Yeah, so he's working together for good. All right, good, verse 29. What's the good? Don't let people tell you foolishness. What's the good? What's the good? It's never about you. It's never about you. The good is never about you. Come here. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become, read the rest of it, conformed to the image of his son. The reason he's praying for it is because he wants you to look like Jesus. So when a flood shows up, he's saying the more the flood shows up, the more they'll realize that they have valued something too much. They need to reverse it. So I'm at the top, and they realize that all they need is me. The reason he gave you the wife he gave you that gets on your nerves is because God blessed you with that wife so she would get on your nerve so you can look more like Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need a man to just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going through tribulation right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Thank you for the wife I got. Hallelujah. Here's why that's important. Because you believe she's getting on your nerve. But the Holy Spirit been praying for your crazy tail. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, he don't even know what he got. So I'm going to make a groan to you for you to let her get on his last nerve so he can see that you've allowed it so that you can work something good out of his life so he will look more like Jesus. So serve her, bro. Serve her. Serve her, bro. Serve her. Love her, bro. Love her. Because the more you do that, the more you're looking like Jesus. All the ladies saying amen. Let me turn on the ladies for a moment. Turn on the ladies for a moment. All he's saying is, hey, man, I'm working out. When you lose your job, the Spirit groaned so that you would have nobody to trust but Jesus. When your car breaks down, the Spirit groaned so that you would have nothing and no one else to turn to but Jesus. So that your faith can increase. So that you can look more like Jesus. The point of the passage is you ought to look like Jesus. So whenever something shows up, he says, I want you to look like Jesus. Please remember, our nation was so divided and so negative every single day. All day, negative, 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 negative. And all of a sudden, Houstonians came together and they start working with each other. And Republicans and Democrats and independents started getting boats and going in and rescuing somebody. And all of a sudden, the news narrative changed from the negativity to unity. Only God would do something like that. Only God. Don't just look at the short term. Look at what he's doing long term. Because he's about conforming you and I to his image. It's all about Jesus. You can't get there, ladies and gentlemen, unless you realize that life's not about you, but it's about those around you. And some of you who think, well, I'm just going to raise my family. It's going to be me and my family, and that's all we need to worry about. You have believed a lie. It cannot be just for you and your family, because then he wouldn't say, go make disciples of all nations. So don't be selfish enough to just say, well, it's just about me and my grandkids. It's just about me and my kids. It's just about me. No, it's not. It's bigger than that. Which is why you have to answer your why. What is your why? What's the text? One more. No, I'm done. Let's go back to the notes. Let's go to the notes. Y'all can't handle no more. My time's running out. Let's go to your notes. How do we discover a purpose in light of that? How do we do it? How do you discover a purpose? Number one, here we go. Don't go calling looking, go God looking. Don't go call, well, let me find my call. No, go God looking. Here's why. When you look back over your life, you're looking for what God has been doing when you weren't aware that he was working. So you're looking for the themes that God has been doing in your life because he's been at work. Everything that's happened to you, he's allowed it for a redemptive reason. And you got to explore the why of that. Next one. Here's what he says. He says, if you want to know what God wants done, then you must look at what he has done. You got to look back to see what's he done. That's why you have to link your future with your past. It has to be linked that way. Let's look at the chart. So here's the chart we've given you to help you begin to think about this. Nobody can do the work for you. I can't tell you what your call is. You've got to discern what it is. So we've given you this map in your handout. And what you're looking at is your life stage when you're elementary, and then when you're in high school, and when you started working, and then in your 40s, what that looked like. And then you're just asking questions. Hey, man, what happened in my heritage? Why did I grow up in the family background that I grew up? Why did my mom and dad have such a great relationship? Who are my heroes? What are the high points? What are the things that I remember? Oh my gosh, this is great. What are the hard times? What are the things that were, your heart was broken? And then where did you see the hand of God? Where God moved and you knew that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be where you are today. Where are those moments? And then all you're doing, next sheet, all you're doing is then putting it on a map. And he's saying, here are the positive experiences, here are the negative experiences in these different seasons of life. And then you're asking God, okay, God, why did you allow these positives and why did you allow these negatives? And what does that mean? And what do you want me to do in light of that? But what you're doing is you're trying to see what God has been doing in your life when you were not looking, when I was not looking. Because it will tell you the story that he has been painting
in your life. So number C says, look for the positives and look for the negatives in your life. You see, do your routine duties, what you and I have to do is, in your routine, the mundane, the things you do every day, you've got to invite God into it, because the normal will ultimately becomes the supernatural. See, too many of us, we're in something and we want to leave it. We're just, get me out of here. I don't want to do this. Get me out of here. Get me out. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And all you do, do all to the glory of God. So stay right where you are and do what you do, but now do it for God. Even if you don't like it, I'm still doing it unto the Lord. And then invite the supernatural into your natural routine activities and watch him open doors. But too many times we want to complain about where we are. God, get me out of here. I need to be out of here. I don't like this. I don't like the people around me. I don't like nothing around me. And God said, whoa, 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 whoa. That's what you're not doing nothing for me. You're doing it all for you. Which is why you're miserable, because it was all about you. He said, stay right where you are and do what you do and invite me in and say, God, help me discover my why. But I'm going to be faithful right here until you show me my why, so I can then step out and walk into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the stakes are too high when you and I miss this. It really, really is. It's too high when we miss it. So let me see if I can show you what God's been doing in your life without you knowing. Okay? Here's what he's been doing, even though you didn't know it. See, you grew up in a home. And in the home that you grew up in, you had a family, and the family was well-to-do, and life was wonderful. And then you grew up in a home, and mom and dad was there. This looks like it's going to break, don't it? Hold on. They trying to mess up my game. You see what one the devil tried to do? It, but he ain't going to win. He ain't going to win up in this place. There we go. Come on. Here we go right there. There we go. All right. So then you try to make sure, and you're saying, God, what are you up to, God? What's going on? Why did they get a divorce, God? What in the world are you doing, God? And then you have to choose who you spend time with. And you'll be like, God, come on. Are you kidding me? Now I got to split time between my parents. And God's like, don't worry about it. I'm working something out. And you'll be like, okay, God, all right. I'm going to trust you, God. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, but God, now I need it right now. And then something else happened. And you're getting frustrated with life, and you're saying, God, are you kidding me? What are you doing? But all this time, God's working something out, and he's working it and working it. And all you need to know, before too long, you are going to see that God has been up to something in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, he's always been working it out. The question is, are you paying attention? So all of a sudden now, you have a passion for couples. And all of a sudden now, you want to see couples do well. But the reason you want to see couples do well is because of the pain that it's caused you to grow up in a home where the couples didn't do well. And now you're burdened for that. And now you're serving and you're trying to help couples thrive, because you know the pain that it feels like when they don't. God is up to something in all of our lives, but we must pay attention to what he has been doing. Can I get a witness, somebody? Come on. Can I get a witness? I just like doing this. It's just kind of cool. It's just kind of cool. So let's pray and get out of here. We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want you to do over the next week. I really do want you to take the time, as an individual first, as a life group next, as a family unit, and just begin the process and say, God, what's our why? The stakes are too high for me not to pursue this. What is my why? God, what are my core values? What are the things that break my heart, shatter it when I see it on the television? I just weep. What are those things, God? And then, how have you used my past? What have you been doing where I wasn't looking? And God, help me to understand what those are, because I really want to live out where you, no more meaningless life. I want to do it, God. I want to do what you've got. And I don't have to quit my job to do it now, but I want to begin the process. So at least I know, so I can come up with a plan to see what want me to do. You don't have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You really don't. The reason he's left you here, the reason you're still on the planet, is because he wants you to fulfill what he's called you to do. And the question is, are you going to keep living more meaningless life? Just go home, go to work, come home, eat dinner, sleep, get up, do the same thing over again? Or are you going to live with passion, intentional, for the glory of God? There's a group of people waiting on you to step into your calling. They can't be blessed until you step into that. And the question is, what are you waiting for? Father, Will you help us as a church community walk in what you're calling us to do? Will you help us spend the time this week? There's nothing more important than this, God. Will you help us spend the time this week to reflect, to think, to trace back the great times and the painful times, to look at the hurts and our heroes, to look at the hand of God and our heritage, and to simply ask God, why? Why did you allow all these to happen? And then allow God a theme to emerge that breaks your heart. And then, God, we will respond once you show us and do what you've called us to do. This church can't get to its full redemptive potential unless everybody does this. Each one of us can't get to our full redemptive potential unless we walk in our why. Everybody wants to do it in the business world right now, but they want to do it because they want to make more money. God, the stakes are so much higher than resources. We're talking about souls. So will you help us to walk in that place? We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said, will you give God a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, please?